Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Hello, friends. We're back again. Welcome to Fightful. July 12th, 2025, and this is your Saturday night's main event post show. Look, I know what you're thinking. They went off the air abruptly. I'm on the air abruptly. It's just me. I get it. It's okay. We're going to talk about Saturday night's main event. There's plenty to talk about from the show. There's plenty to talk about from outside the show. We're going to get there. I promise we're going to get there. Also, if you watched AEW All in Texas, Kate and Alex are doing their post-show review right now. It might go as long as the pay-per-view. It might. I can't guarantee it, but it might. It is Kate and Alex. For me, I try to keep this one pretty sharp, pretty stale. Not stale, pretty quick. Not stale. Stale was, you know, stale is other things that we can talk about later. That's other stuff. Maybe you like to go in the weeds Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Eastern over on our sister channel. That's Fightful Overbooked. We're going to talk about Saturday night's main event. We're going to talk about Fightful Select. We're going to talk about our wonderful sponsors at NordVPN and Blue Chew, who help us out tonight to put on a wonderful show, a wonderful recap. If you want to talk about it in the chat, you know what to do. If you want to go ahead and leave a thumbs up on the video, that goes a long way. A five-star review for you audio friends out there listening to my soothing NPR CBC-like voice. Yes, I'm Canadian. You're welcome. If you're listening to me in the audio sphere and you want to leave a five-star review on the podcast carrier of your choice, go ahead. That'd be helpful. If you want to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com, best $5.99 in the business. We got updates on everything that happened and everything that's happening. And we're going to talk about everything that's going on. There is a free update on Seth Rollins, who we will be talking about on this show, over on FightfulSelect.com. If you just want the one a la carte option and you just want a couple of things here and there that you want to pay for, you want this news, that news, but not all the news, I don't know why, but some people, not going to yuck your yum, you can go ahead and do that over at FightfulSelect.com, or you just get it all. Get all the shebang, get all the content, get all the news, get all the scoops, get all the content, get all the Weekender podcast with Steven Jensen. You want to talk about the indies? He's got that for you. You want to talk about the bad stuff going on in wrestling, the sour stuff? Kate and Alex do that behind the paywall. That's over at FightfulSelect.com. You want to talk about God knows what? You want a Q&A? Sean Ross Sapp's got one over on FightfulSelect.com. You want access to our Discord where stuff's breaking? We're talking every day. I told you the website. Go to FightfulSelect.com. Best $5.99 in the business. We break the news that the aggregators love to take. Saturday night's main event tonight headlined Goldberg and his last ride taking on Gunther for the World Heavyweight Championship. Overall, listen, I thought that the show, it's going to be a stark difference. For those who watched AEW All In and watched the entire show live as it happened, and then you maybe switched to this show, or maybe you caught up midway, you're going to see a stark difference in events, especially because Saturday night's main event is a completely different presentation for WWE than it is compared to a Monday Night Raw on Netflix. Saturday night's main event is an NBC junk. You got to sift through some commercials, some extra ones because it's network. You gotta deal with a short card. It's a quick pace, get you in, get you out. Tonight got a little weird, but they figured it out. There was enough going on. And the show, I thought, delivered for what it was supposed to be. A simple four-match card. Some stuff got messy, but they had some angles here and there. We got some SummerSlam news out of the way. We got a return or two. I thought the show delivered for what it was supposed to be. It was not supposed to be better than All In, because God knows you weren't even going to get close to the stuff that happened on that show. But they wanted to tell their stories, and I get it. We've all felt the way we felt about the overprogramming and all that, but we're just talking about the show. We're talking about the show today and what we thought about it. And maybe you're catching it after the fact and you want to, you know, you just want to talk about it. So let's talk about it. Go ahead. You can donate a super chat and email, get your question or statement read on the air. You can also go to humperchats.com and get yourself in on the conversation. Always helpful. Luis is here. He is handling me tonight, I think. He might be bouncing back and forth. I don't know. Maybe I'm just going solo on my own and I'm all alone. except Solo's got like a full grouping of people now. That's just what he does. He's not alone tonight. Jesse Ventura and Joe Tessitore, they start this show. No Jesse on commentary tonight. Jesse, they didn't want to do it. They didn't want to put him on. They just had him do the intro with Joe Tessitore. They mentioned that Beyonce's in town. They mentioned the All-Star Weekend for MLB. Talk about Goldberg's last ride. More women seem to have been shown in the intro than on tonight's card. But of course, there was a women's segment involved, and we'll get to that in a little bit. They show a Goldberg graphic at the beginning. I wish I screen capped it so I could send to you what it looked like. But it was the background was gold. It was Goldberg. And then the Saturday night's main event. And it looked rough. It looked like somebody had put that together at the very last second. But I digress. Not everything is always going to look great from them. Jesse Ventura saying that Goldberg is old and needs to win quick. Well, he didn't win. He didn't go quickly, but Goldberg is still old, but I think he did a pretty damn good job. Talk about that. We'll get to the Nord stuff in a little bit. How about that? How about that? There's something really funny about wrestling on a Naked Gun logo, but that, you know, that's conversation for another time. Because if you looked at the ring, the only advertisement on the ring canvas tonight was just a Naked Gun logo. Why not? Right? Wrestlers are in that movie. Wrestlers are in the movies. So you're going to go ahead and do it. We open up the show with the wrestling. Randy Orton defeats Drew McIntyre. Randy Orton has Jelly Roll in his corner. Logan Paul's in his corner. Obviously, Randy's really over with the crowd. There's no doubt about that. They love to sing the song. They love when Randy comes out. Jelly Roll coming out there actually added to it because he's so passionate about what he's doing. It's really cool seeing Jelly Roll come out and like care as an outsider. He's a wrestling fan. And for him to come out and he's singing Randy Orton's theme. I like that. He clearly wants to be there. He clearly wants to put on the show. He clearly understands what he's supposed to be doing. I think that's really neat. And then, of course, on the other end of things, I think Drew McIntyre being paired with Logan Paul is actually a smart idea. Drew McIntyre, for the last little while, has been really cool, and he's getting a lot of cheers, and he's saying things that are not inaccurate. But because he's getting cheered, I think it sometimes lessens the importance of him as a bad guy. So you give him Logan Paul as a heater, and it's the right guy. Because nobody, very few, I won't say nobody, there are very few people who actually like Logan Paul. So as a result, you pair Drew with Logan and they play off each other. Logan gets to say the crazy stuff he says. Drew McIntyre gets to be the backup who said, oh, not the backup, but gets to stand with him and say, yes, absolutely. This is what I've been saying. Listen to me. And it's Logan Paul being the guy who says it and having Drew be the guy who repeats it, I think is perfect. Doesn't get rid of Drew's cool bad guy persona, but it certainly lessens it and it makes him just be a bad guy. And I think you need more of that from Drew McIntyre because he's so good as a bad guy. He's so good as a heel that pairing him with the right guy does wonders for this character. Later on in the match, Paul distracts Orton. Drew hits a claymore. Randy gets his foot on the rope. Jelly Roll and Logan Paul, they get mouthy with each other outside the ring. They're just yelling, jaw-jacking, and then all of a sudden, Jelly Roll pushes Paul to the floor. Drew tells Jelly Roll to fight him instead. And then Randy hits an RKO, wins the match. Because, of course, there was the distraction. They did also, earlier, they did some back body drop trading, which was really cute. Orton and Drew doing the back body drops on the announce table. Thought that was really fun. And then Orton gets three in on Drew just to show him, hey, this is my thing. It's not yours. This is the thing that I do. But the end of the match, the post-match is what really starts the ball rolling. You get Logan Paul attacking Randy Orton. Jelly Roll gets upset. He enters the ring and then he ragdolls Logan Paul again, like he did last night on SmackDown. They go face to face. And then Jelly Roll hits a right hand on Logan Paul that knocks down Logan Paul. And you've got Michael Cole just acting as if Jelly Roll is Mike Tyson and he just had like the knockout of the century. I thought that was the funniest, goofiest thing ever. But again, you gotta make it feel like Jelly Roll is an accomplished fighter, because that is going to be the biggest what if. These three guys are wrestlers. They have wrestled matches in the ring. You've seen them. You feel certain ways about them, but you know that when they have to go bell to bell, they do it well. Jelly Roll hasn't done that. So they got to find a way to make him somewhat believable. I thought Michael Cole did a good job acting like this is the way it's supposed to be. Jelly Roll checks on Randy Orton, and then he eats a claymore from Drew McIntyre. So later on, Randy's in the back with Jelly Roll. They called it an exclusive interview, which was just Kathy Kelly walking up and being like, hey, I'm so sorry. You know, you want to say anything? And Randy said he felt bad for putting Jelly Roll in danger. Jelly Roll says, like, no. This, I wanted to be there. This is on me. I want my revenge. And so it's official at SummerSlam. There will be a tag match. It's going to be Drew McIntyre teaming up with Logan Paul to take on Randy Orton and Jelly Roll, to which they're calling it RK Roll. Mm-mm. That's not what I call it. Guys, Jelly Snake is right there. You got to get your Jelly Snake on. If you got better ideas, I want to hear them. Put them in the chat. I want to hear your best Randy Orton Jelly Roll tag team names. I got Jelly Snake. RK Roll is just kind of, you know? Could be better. That's what I think. But maybe you're going to be watching SummerSlam. Maybe not. Maybe you want to watch it on a different platform. Maybe you want to watch it on the same spots that you can watch, you know, Monday Night Raw. And maybe you want to watch more WWE content. Well, if you're in the States, you got to find another way. So how about I give you one if you want to have a little fun?
Buying pay-per-views on NordVPN.com/Fightful is going to enhance your pay-per-view buying process. Now, one subscription to NordVPN has so many different benefits, but if you're a big pay-per-view buyer like myself, UFC, boxing, pro wrestling, all that good stuff, any combination of the three, if they're doing a fight circus or something like that, this subscription will pay for itself after one or two pay-per-view buys. Change your virtual location, pay for it at the prices that other people are paying for it in the UK, in Australia, etc., etc., and you can get different interfaces. Maybe you don't like Peacock and you want to check out the WWE Network the way that it used to be, the way that it was designed to be, the easy navigation, so on and so forth. Maybe you want to watch AEW without commercials. Maybe there's some other overseas services that you can't subscribe to and you want access to them. NordVPN.com/Fightful gives you that with a great deal and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Even better, 24/7 tech support. So if you have trouble navigating any of it, they can help you out. Fastest VPN on the planet, NordVPN.com/Fightful.
I find myself selling for Sean when I'm watching a video of Sean selling the product. I'm sitting there just doing the enhancement that anyone who watches me on In the Weeds, you see me do. And Jeremy makes a point that I agree with. So that was a thing that I just kind of clocked in my own head. All right, what are y'all calling this one? Snake Roll? That's not bad. I like that one. Someone getting back to me with Jelly Snake. I like it. Snake Rattle and Roll. Okay. I hear it. Arcade Donut Hold. Good Lord. Viper Roll. Sounds like something you'd order off a sushi menu. I agree. I would like that. I would very much like that. Oh, man. Yeah, Zeno, I was saying Sean with his creative control cutting into my time. Someone's got to do the ad reads. It's got to be Sean. That's the way it goes, baby. That's okay. They show Rhea Ripley, Andy O'Sky at ringside ahead of tomorrow's Evolution. There will be a post show, by the way, tomorrow. I believe it's going to be our own Kate and Cresta Starr, my co-host on the TNA post show. By the way, I do the TNA post show. So Slammiversary next weekend on Sunday, be myself, Cresta Starr, Steven Jensen. We'll be talking about TNA Slammiversary, and we do that every Thursday as well. Myself and Cresta, we review the TNA show. This past week, we also did the Collision, because Collision and TNA aired at the same time, and it was going into All In, so we just conglomerated, if you will. And that was the show that we did for y'all. But every Thursday, I'm not calling it Trickin' A. Chat, get off me. No. You can find me every Thursday doing that with Cresta over on this channel, and we'll have a live Slammiversary post show. But there is an Evolution post show tomorrow with Cresta and Kate, so get ready for that. So you got Rhea Ripley and Io, who will be presumably the main event for tomorrow night's show. And then they show Jade Cargill at ringside, and behind her comes Naomi. She attacks Jade once again. They start to fight. They had their no-holds-barred match tomorrow night at Evolution. They do a pull-apart brawl, and then Nick Aldis comes out. He's trying to help with the pull-apart, and then he grabs a mic and says, I wanted to tell you guys in my office. I wanted you to come to my office and talk to me. But no, you couldn't just keep yourselves off of each other. So you know what? Let me introduce you to your special guest referee tomorrow night, and it's Bianca Belair. Love it. We knew that she would be back eventually. You saw that gnarly photo of her two fingers that she broke, but it's good that she can come back and be a part of Evolution. Even as a special guest referee, I'm sure she would have loved to have been in a match, but if you're going to have her come out and be part of it and do the big three coming back and having her as a special guest referee, big fan. Love it. So good. Good for Bianca Belair. Good for this match. I think it adds a little bit more to it. There is a deep storyline with these three women. And of course, you've got the Money in the Bank briefcase. I expect Jade to win. I just do. Now that they've also, you know, stacked the odds against Naomi, it makes sense. I'm still not a fan of the Money in the Bank winner getting beat down all the time. So it is what it is. It happened again tonight, but there's a little more underneath that that we'll get into. WCW security guy and former Atlanta cop, before I get a little too far, he like rode motorcycles and helped with police escorts. Doug Dillinger is here. For those of you who watched WCW back in the day, like me, because I'm old, he was in the is in the crowd, and DDP is here. And tonight they had enough runtime to actually show DDP. For those who were alive in 1998, are aware of the lore, Halloween Havoc 1998, go back and watch DDP versus Goldberg. The match they had to show on Nitro because they couldn't show you the match when it aired on pay-per-view. They didn't buy enough satellite time. That was a thing in 1998. You needed to buy satellite time, and they didn't have enough. Doug Dillinger was on the show, not just once, not just twice, but thrice. But before we get there, let's talk about the United States Championship. Solo Sikoa defeats Jimmy Uso. I don't think this was really a shock to anyone, especially if you watched SmackDown last night. Jimmy Uso pinned Solo Sikoa in the tag main event on SmackDown. Jeff Cobb, Tonga Loa, and Tala Tonga are ringside for Solo Sikoa. Jimmy's all on his own. Commentary points out that this is the first one-on-one singles title match Jimmy's ever had. And I was like, that can't be right, but apparently it is. If they're wrong and I'm wrong, someone tell me in the chat, because don't think he ever got a match for the title against Roman during the COVID years. Pretty sure this was it. So that's pretty amazing that this is Jimmy's first one-on-one title match. Pretty cool. And I thought he did pretty well here. I mean, Jimmy's been looking good. Big Jim is coming out of his shell, and he's becoming a guy that you really need to watch more of. He does a great corkscrew plancha, which our Fightful Select Discord, they named it the Oos in the Wind. Shout out to Jeff Hardy. I loved it. It takes out everyone except Tala Tonga. And then while Jimmy's trying to fight off Tala Tonga, he gets back in the ring, but Solo rolls up Jimmy, and Tala helps him keep Solo. He helps Solo keep Jimmy down for a pin because he rolled him up. So Solo retains. It's a little convoluted, but basically Tala Tonga helped Solo get the leverage on the pin, and he retained the U.S. title. Post-match, MFT, who I've now called my favorite Tongans, even though that's not what they're called, they beat down Jimmy Uso. Jacob Fatu comes back, took a couple weeks off, and he saves Jimmy. And then Tala faces off with Jacob Fatu, knocks him down, but Fatu hits a low bridge and then takes out Tala and the rest of MFT with a little suicide dive of his own. So he's back into it. I guess we'll see some sort of hardcore match at SummerSlam between Jacob Fatu and Solo Sikoa. Or maybe they'll do some, I don't know, bloodline rules match, really stack the deck for the US title. I don't know if you want to do that, but it would be it'd be one way to do it. I just think that they'll have some sort of fun, you know, hardcore style match. And if they don't do it at the show, they have two nights, they should, then they'll just put them on the SmackDown before the actual show, the actual wrestling event. Regardless, it was good. Throughout the night, they're showing you Goldberg highlights, telling him he can turn back the clock, telling you that he can, he was hard. He was always hard. And folks, if you want to regain, or not just regain, but you want to keep your hardness, and you want to turn back your clock or something else similar in name, Blue Chew gotcha.
You know, Fightful and Blue Chew have been at it a long time. Maybe you've been at it a long time. Maybe you're lacking that motivation. Maybe you're lacking that confidence. You don't think you have what you once had. Blue Chew is here to get you there. BlueChew.com and the code Fightful. You'll get your first shipment free of what? Well, it's a chewable tablet that has the same ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so it gets your performance ready to go. It's prescribed online, it ships straight to your door. You do an online consultation, and if approved, you'll be back to that main event level performance. Sometimes it's not even about performance, it's about that confidence. And Blue Chew is going to make sure that you have that. Blue Chew and the code Fightful. Your first shipment free, you just pay $5 shipping. What is there to lose? BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Just realized one of my lights wasn't on. My God. Y'all were getting like dark half face on me. That's not how I look. I look pretty sometimes. I've been up since 6 a.m. I'm tired. But anyway, this is your Saturday Night's Main Event post show. Get your super chats in. Get your humper chats in. If you want to talk about it, let's talk about it. We got to talk about this, though. LA Knight defeats Seth Rollins. So this match got weird, unfortunately, because at one point, Seth Rollins tweaked his knee off of a senton and a Sai moonsault combo. He lands on his feet off the moonsault and just kind of jumps up and grabs his knee, falls to the back to the corner and starts to talk to everybody at ringside. LA Knight's kind of standing back. And next thing you know, they get to a BFT, 1, 2, 3. That's it. I expected LA Knight to win this match because that's typically how they play the Money in the Bank guys, right? That's normal. However, I definitely felt a little weird watching LA Knight just kind of hit it and quit it and just leave looking a little, you could see it in his eyes. He was both upset, frustrated, and concerned, rightfully so. So Fightful Select, we did report on our free tier. We do have one of those, by the way, that Seth Rollins sustained a legitimate knee injury at Saturday Night's Main Event. So they immediately went to LA Knight winning. It was an audible. Rollins was actually slated to win, is what we have. So I was wrong. Rollins was going to win. And immediately the word backstage is that the injury is legit. It was not planned. And it wasn't planned for. Next thing we know, while we don't know the severity, we're just going to have to wait and see how things fall. Because once it's assessed and once we know how bad it is, well, that will give us an idea of what we're going to expect. It sucks. I wish the best to Seth Rollins. I'm sure we all do. I want to give full marks to Seth Rollins too, because this guy really knows the camera angles. I want to point something out. If you go back and you watch Saturday Night's Main Event and you watch this particular promo the end of the match and calling the audible when he gets injured, he is sitting in the corner. He's got his head to Paul Heyman and he's putting his arm up on the ropes. And yeah, part of it's like, it's casual. But he knows the camera angles, and they know that the angles of the camera are blocking his head. So he's able to speak to whoever he needs to address and not have anyone read his lips where he's saying, hey, I'm hurt, or hey, this is real, or hey, we need to do something different. He's not, you can't give it away. Nobody can read his lips because he's got his arm up and he's blocking with his arm. So the rope is basically helping him cover. Normally his hair would just be in the way, but he doesn't, really run that. Regardless, so I give him full marks because clearly he got to it and he knew what to do. We don't know what this is going to mean long term. Hopefully this is not something that affects him long term. The worst, the worst of the situation right now is once we discover the severity, we'll understand better what we do with the briefcase. We understand if the briefcase is an issue. Well, this is a year that we're looking at for Seth. If this is a War Games thing, that's all the way in November. So again, there's so many things that are going to be at play, but right now the only thing we're worried about is Seth and his health and hoping that he's okay. It sucks to see anyone get injured, especially when it's on TV and they're showing it and people are then saying, oh, it's going to be a cash in later in the evening. And I get it. I was almost there. Something felt weird. You look back at LA Knight's eyes and you see it. You see the look in his eyes. He's not comfortable. He's looking back at he's concerned, but he's also annoyed that that's the way it had to go. He gets the win, but the win is a little bit tainted, and that's not fun. So again, Seth Rollins legitimately injured. We do not know how bad, what the severity is going to be, but we do have a free update over on FightfulSelect.com, which is exactly what I read. Was not planned. Seth was actually going to win, not LA Knight. They called the audible. figured they could just get away with it. And once we know the severity, I'm sure we'll have more over on Fightful Select. And usually when it's injury, we keep it on our free tier so that everyone's not in the dark or wondering why we're not, you know, telling you what's wrong with somebody. Injury should be out there for people to know. It sucks. But I'm not going to speculate as to how bad it is until we know how bad it is. Then we can move on. Blake Monroe shown at ringside, moving on with the rest of the evening. And then JC Jane is also there. She's the NXT Women's Champion. Blake Monroe earlier competed at Great American Bash. I'm not going to spoil it for anyone. I didn't watch it myself, but I know what happened. JC Jane is the NXT Women's Champion, and she goes up against Jordynne Grace tomorrow night at Evolution for the NXT World Champion, for the NXT Women's Championship. The winner of that goes on to face Masha Slamovich at Slammiversary in a title versus title match. So the TNA Knockouts Championship and the NXT Women's Championship will be on the line at Slammiversary next Sunday. That's my cheap plug. Come and watch the post show. Myself, Crest of Star, Steven Jensen. Okay. And also shout out to JC Jane. I see you wearing Effie's old pink studs and spikes jacket. I see it. I respect it. I see it, but give it back to Effie. He wants it back. All right, folks, it's time for your main event. This show has flown by, has it not? That's how it felt to me when I watched it. Goldberg and his last ride fall to Gunther. Gunther retains the World Heavyweight Championship. Goldberg, I have to say, looked good. I didn't expect this to be a bad match, okay? I didn't expect it to be a knockdown, drag-out fight. But I'll tell you what I expected out of this. I've made this joke before. I know Sean's even mentioned this. Whenever Goldberg, and mentioned that I mentioned this, I should say, Goldberg hates getting into this like version of himself. He hates how much he has to work to become Goldberg the character from a working out standpoint, because he has to get jacked and big and, you know, broad. He has to be 1990s Goldberg. And he hates that now because he's older and because he trains more MMA, more Thai and all that. And you can tell, by the way, because walking into the ring, Josh Barnett and Ernest the Cat Miller, I don't need to tell you who those guys, and Chuck Zito, for Christ's sake, Doug Dillinger and Gage are also there. They walk Goldberg out, but Goldberg just wants to be like MMA trainer, lighter Goldberg, but he wants to do this for the kids. And this is his last hurrah. And I think for what he did, and I think for what this match was, I thought it was really good. I've been on the Goldberg train for a long time. Sometimes I get it. We hop off because, well, Goldberg has had some moments and he's done some silly ass stuff. And he did it in this match. He wasn't perfect. My nostalgia for Goldberg is strange. I am Jewish, and there aren't that many Jewish wrestlers. At least when I was growing up, there weren't that many. It was Goldberg and Barry Horowitz who were openly out there. And Barry Horowitz wasn't exactly getting us psyched for wrestling. Raven, we'd find out later, Scotty Polo, as he was, and he's Jewish. There are other Jewish wrestlers out there now. Hell, one of them took a DVD onto a table tonight. Bless you, Marina Shafir. There are plenty of you. Goldberg was always the guy, though. So I thought the match was really well done for what they wanted to accomplish. Gunther had the whole match started saying, I'm going to drag him out into deep waters and I'm going to choke him out. Well, he did that, but he didn't really have to drag him out into those waters because Goldberg was keeping up. Now, granted, this is Saturday night's main event, so there is a rest hold break for both of them. It's not a PLE where they don't take breaks. No, on TV, which is why this was perfect to do it for Goldberg, you got 2 minutes where you could just do a rest hold spot and get away with it in the ring, and the crowd will still get into it because it's, you know, it's Goldberg and Gunther, and it's a world title match. There's some sort of, you know, enigmatic energy around it. The crowd was immediately on Gunther, chanting, you tapped out. Charles Robinson as the referee. I thought that was the best choice you could make for this match because Charles Robinson, he's 61 freaking years old, but he also refereed a ton of Goldberg matches. And that's impressive as hell. So I thought it was really cool. I thought the vibe was right for this match. I thought doing it in Atlanta was one thing. Taking a classic style match on a networked show that was going to have commercials and was going to be pretty straightforward was good. I know a lot of people, myself included, joked about Goldberg winning the world title and then you have a cash and whatever it was, but it always felt in the end like Gunther was going to be that world champion. at the same time, I thought Gunther playing the chicken shit heel was something new and welcome because he had to cower to Goldberg for the first couple of minutes. And that was great. Goldberg no-sold the chops from Gunther. He just, you know, just Superman laughed it off. I thought that was great, immediately making Gunther have to cower for a bit. That stuff was welcome. It's a different version of Gunther than what we normally see. He's still a bully. Gunther is still a bully, and he's still a garbage human being, but character-wise, by the way. But this was a different side of Gunther who's never faced the bigger character, the bigger person. Not that Goldberg is physically bigger, but he's one of the larger opponents he's had lately. So I like that. Goldberg's wearing his massive knee brace. That does come into play. Commentary mentions it. They put over Goldberg wrestling with the knee brace and going through all this. And Goldberg's mentioned throughout, you know, all of his interviews, which they shouted out, by the way, the CBS Sport one, shout out to Shaq Maggiore. They mentioned that the knee brace was there and that he's talked about it in interviews. Goldberg, however, this is the one thing. For all the stories that we used to tell, and you know, oh, in Saudi Arabia, he headbutted a door and that concussed him and that caused this and that. Goldberg found a way to do the barricade spot that everybody does in WWE. He found a way to do it and still hit his head because he hit his head on the stanchion between the barricades. If you go back and watch it, you just see him right where the stanchion is, right between the barricade where they break apart. He just kind of hits his head. And I'm like, oh, of course he did that. Good for him. he hit the wrong barricade. He hit the right barricade, but then his head hit the wrong one. I felt a little bad for Goldberg. It clearly didn't hurt him too much because they go to commercial break. They come back and wrestles, like I said, are back on the menu. You come back and it's, you know, Gunther holding his knee, holding Goldberg's knee in a knee bar. And it's great. I love it. Again, you get away with it because you have network. You have the time. You can let Goldberg rest and let him come back to do this finish. The story then turns to the working on the knee. Then Goldberg inadvertently spears Charles Robinson. Let me tell you, man, this guy just turned 61 10 days ago. July 2nd is his birthday. I looked it up. I'm not just encyclopedic knowledge of people's birthdays. That would be strange. Barely remember my own. June the 1st. The man just turned 61 to Charles Robinson. He cannot catch a break. Goes to another country. Gets knocked the hell out by John Cena. Pounced out of his working shoes after running down a football length entrance ramp. Bam. He gets it again tonight from Goldberg, a shorter distance. I feel so bad. Feel so bad for that man, Charles Robinson. But you know what? Listen to any interview he's ever done. The man has done it all in wrestling. He cares about this business so much. The man used to live on submarines, for Christ's sake. Now he's doing it. He's living his dream. So Gunther eventually takes advantage because the referee's out, takes off the knee brace, goes after the knee. And then Gunther kind of waves around the knee brace and goes out of the ring, and he goes immediately up to Gage Goldberg. And he pie faces Gage after telling him, come on, come on me. Gage jumps the guardrail. If you don't think for 1 minute that WWE isn't hoping to God that Gage Goldberg wants to be a wrestler or train in their NIL program, you got another thing coming. They're salivating at the idea of this kid being the next Goldberg. Because guess what? He is a Goldberg. He's so different from the, I don't know, 10 years ago, 9 years ago, when I saw him at Survivor Series in 2016, and this kid was a kid. Look at him now. He's very different. He is very active. Absolutely nuts. So good for Gage, jumps that barricade, and then immediately, the security, they stop him. Get in the way, they move him out of there. I like that. You know, I like even more. You know what I love? I love that you have Wade Barrett being like, oh, security's finally doing their job. And I'm like, this is a callback. To me, this is a callback to when they had, who was it, Gronk at WrestleMania years ago, jumped the barricade for a spot. And then they had to like keep him back, but he was supposed to be there. But and the security messed it all up. And there was a spot with Jinder that got completely missed. But I love that they had Wade Barrett just being like, oh, they're doing the job. Anyway, spear, jackhammer, Goldberg sells the knee off of that. I thought it looked good. Again, they were telling a good story in the ring. He goes for the pin after selling his knee, gave enough time for Gunther to kick out and make it look good. Wasn't George Kittle, by the way. I'm talking like WrestleMania. God, it was one of the outdoor stadium ones pre-COVID. May have been 19, or it may have been 35. And if it was 35, well, that show is no longer the longest one to ever happen in North America, because the show that happened tonight for AEW was longer than that. That's on the record books. That's not me taking a shot. Regardless, Gunther kicks out in about as much time as it took me to tell you that joke. And he just simply locks in his sleeper immediately. 31 in San Fran. Thank you, friends. 33 in Orlando? 33 in Orlando. Anyway, Mike Straw's the guy. Go follow Mike Straw. He's Michael J. Straw. He's our dude. Anyway, sleeper's locked in. Gunther has it in. He immediately went for it. You can tell it. It was so fun for me to watch Gunther like kick out, get that adrenaline rush, and you can see it in his eyes. He's like, oh, I'm get him. And he does. He locks in the sleeper immediately. Goldberg fights it, and it makes sense. You know why it makes sense? What did I tell you? Goldberg's not a wrestler anymore. He's an MMA guy. He's a judo guy. He's one of those guys. That's what he wants to be now. So he's in that sleeper. He's been clenched in. So he's going to pass out. Referee stoppage. Goldberg's out. Gunther retains. I thought the match was good. I thought they did Goldberg really well. Thought it was a little strange the way that they tried to make it feel as if Goldberg could win. They were going to. Okay. How can I put this? They wanted. Sorry. You know what? I'm just going to completely back in my brain. I got nothing. Thought it was a good match. Thought everything worked. Goldberg later on, they go to commercial, and I'm like, is that it? It ain't the top of the hour yet. They don't go off that late. Goldberg is a car guy. He's a great car guy. They come back. They're doing a promo in the ring, and everyone is celebrating. It's all of Goldberg's peers and family and friends, and they just give him the microphone. And he immediately, he says, you know, I apologize. I lost in Atlanta. Thank you to my friends. Thank you to my family. Thank you, everyone, for coming. And then it cuts out. And I hope WWE does upload the entire thank you footage, or maybe they'll show it on Raw. Who knows? Because I thought that's something that you got to give to Goldberg. That's something you got to give, because he went out there. He had a great match. He proved his worth. He proved that he could do it. But also, maybe that was just their homage to Halloween Havoc 1998. We're out of time. Couldn't get that guy to do it because he was over doing the other show. That's okay. It felt weird if you know how the timing works. I understand it. But again, I thought it was a great, great match for them to have. It made sense. I thought they did a good job with it. Don't think the match needed Bret Hart, though, as Chad is saying. Sorry, friends. What did you all think of this show? We got a couple minutes left. Listen, this wasn't going to be a long review because there's plenty of other reviews going on right now between everyone's all-in reviews. And tomorrow night, we're going to have the Evolution review. And there's a Great American Bash review that's going to be tomorrow, too, because that happened earlier today. There's plenty. Plenty of it. But yeah, the show was over by then. It was a good, easy 2-hour watch, hour and a half if you're watching, you know, without commercials, or you're just going through the commercials. I thought that was fine. I think over at FightfulSelect.com, you got plenty of news, plenty of fine. Again, we're going to be up on the Seth Rollins stuff. We don't know what happened other than it's a legitimate injury. Seth was going to win. LA Knight was an audible at the last minute. And we're going to see what the evaluation looks like. The injury was in fact a bummer. It really sucks, because you know what? This was, I got to say one thing about LA Knight right now. There's a joke that goes around, by the way, that every time, and this is like LA Knight's aware of this, and it's not like a people making fun of him thing. LA Knight's, he always tries to do that one move that's just a little too far and he slips up. It's fine. That's kind of like I mentioned in my notes, like his Kevorka has to be studied someday, because there's something about him and you just don't understand it. And I don't either. But either way, there was a moment where LA Knight cuts off Seth while he's on the top rope. Knight runs up the ropes, doesn't slip. And then Rollins turns it into a buckle bomb. And I thought that was great. unfortunately, everything else that comes afterwards kind of messes up the conversation, because LA Knight was having a good one with Rollins, and Rollins is a great ring general. Shout out to Gunter. So it does suck. We send our best to Seth. Hopefully it's nothing. Hopefully he comes back and he just tweaks something and just landed wrong and everything's great and we just move on. But again, we'll keep it locked. We will keep you informed as we do over on Fightful. And you know what? If you want to watch a longer review, you can go watch Kate and Alex do All In. Okay. You got me. I went solo tonight because I knew the show was going to be what it was. So on your way out, leave a thumbs up. If you got another name for RK Roll, I call him Jelly Snake. Call him Jelly Snake. That's what I'm calling them. What do you want to call them? Leave it in the comments. And you know what? Let's get out of here early, shall we? I'm back Monday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, over on our sister channel. That's Fightful Overbooked. I can speak. Go check that out. Myself, Jeremy Lambert, we're live every single day. SB3 comes in over on Tuesdays and Thursdays talking about wrestling. We're a morning show, so you know it's going to be a little strange, and that's my favorite. Some of y'all watch this show religiously who are in the chat tonight, and I appreciate y'all. So you know what? For now, go relax, kick your feet up, go to sleep. That's what I'm going to do. So for them, for me, who's them? It's you. You know who I am. I know who y'all are. Ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Now at Menards, save big money on everything for your next project. With the largest selection of concrete and mortar in stock, we have the right mix specially formulated for your project. View our entire selection of concrete and mortar mixes online or in-store and save big money. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money at